Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate Reformation Day. And the history of our church for the past several hundred years, and for most mainline churches, has been much the same. And it's based on this idea that God has a church, and the church has a mission, and that God's church gathers people and resources to do God's mission. In the beginning, God moved across the waters, and God created all that was, and the church came into being, and we formed it, and we built it, and we organized it. We created practices and rites and structures, ordinances, all of that for the glory of mission. Well, Luther began to realize that the institution of the church seemed out of sync with its own mission. And he began to ask questions. Really, really good questions. He worried a lot about whether or not the direction that the church was beginning to move was in sync with its mission. Some of his questions were practical. Does it make sense that priests should not be married? I'm glad he answered that one correctly. He also asked lots of other questions. Does it make sense that God's people have to please God through good works in order to be saved? And deep questions. Should it make sense for the princes who have all the temporal power to also be bishops who have spiritual power? Good, good questions. He began to wonder, how is it that the church, whose mission was to save souls and set people free, seemed so interested in enslaving people to a life of works? Good questions. If Jesus says, as he says in the gospel lesson for today, that we are to be free and free indeed, why enslave the people of the church? Martin Luther wondered, why is it that we teach canon law and not God's law? Why is it that we're more interested in the word of the church fathers than in the word of Christ? Good, good questions. Well, if God has a church, and the church has a mission, and that mission needs to be played out over time and in space and in history, all of that seems to make sense, right? We need to have organization, and we need to have structure, and we need to have all of those things in place in order that the mission of the church might be accomplished. Well, Luther sensed a need for a return to the basics of faith. He thought we ought to teach the law, but teach it in such a way as it had in our scripture lessons for today, that it would become part of our very being. So that we would see in ourselves how we have become separated from God and then live a life of grace. What he proposed was radical. It doesn't seem that way to us who are on the other side of history. But to say to people, God loves you for who and how you are, and no matter what, God loves you, and that God has sent Jesus Christ to redeem you, and there isn't anything you need to do to get it is radical. Biblical, but radical. Fast forward. This weekend, or last weekend, I was at an absolutely wonderful conference that I felt was very, very timely. We began to look again at the church in much the same way that Luther looked at the church 500 years ago. We began to wonder whether or not we too have become so enamored of our structure, of our corporation, of our very being, that we have lost sight of mission. So Kelly Fryer, who was the person who was the main speaker, one of my favorite people in the whole world, she led us in this idea, and she pointed out that many, many years ago, there were two sort of mission board people. Never can remember the name of the first guy, but he's the one we followed. He's the one who said, God has a church, the church has a mission, and you guys need to do God's mission. But there was this other guy, his contemporary, who no one listened to. His name was, I think, Van Hoendyck or something like that. He was a Dutch dude. And he proposed something altogether different. He said, God is loose in the world, doing all kinds of amazing and wonderful things. In the beginning, God created the world. God moved over the waters with God's Spirit, and it was good. God was loose in the world, and God still is loose in the world and doing mission. So in von Hoendyck's idea, God is loose in the world and God has a mission. And God has a church. And sometimes God's church is interested in God's mission. You can imagine it wasn't a very popular idea. For one thing, it suggested that God might actually be in the world doing good in spite of the church. And it suggested that God might actually be in the world, loose on the world, doing good without the church. Well, if you're hooked into the organization, into the corporation of church, you don't very well want God running around doing work without you. Right? Because then what's the point? So von Hoendyck said, really the purpose of the church is to discern God's mission in the world and then do it. It's very subtle, but a very important distinction. God is in the world. God has a church. The church has a mission. And you need to do the mission. Or God is loose in the world. And God has a church. And the church's job is to do God's mission. I think that if we really want to reform the church these days, we ought to take a very, very close look at the second model. It's so biblical. That may be what annoys us so much, right? God is loose in the world. That's true throughout Scripture. Remember how the people of Israel kept trying to put God in a box? Call it a tabernacle. God, you stay there, it'll all be good. As a matter of fact, if you could stay in the Holy of Holies, that would be very convenient. But God kept saying, I don't think so. Build your tabernacle, build your temple, do whatever you want. I'm free. I'm loose in the world. And then with Christians, we tried to figure out what exactly it was that God looked like, and we began to try and shape God in that way. And then we said, well, the only way that you can come to know God is through this kind of church. But I don't like that kind of church. Well, we'll start this kind of church, and then you can get to know God in this kind of church. We could call them Lutherans. Well, those Lutherans are not very good Lutherans, so we'll make this Lutheran church. They're heretics. Let's make another one. We duplicated the institution and forgot that God can't be institutionalized. So imagine if we could begin to see God loose in the world, doing good and amazing things through the Muslims and through the Hindus and through the Buddhists and through people who have never once thought about God. What if God was loose in the world, doing good all over the place and calling us to be a part of it? To be a specific part of it. To be shaped by grace and freedom. To be called out of our organization for the sake of mission. And it isn't that the church is bad. Remember that Martin Luther loved the church. We forget that sometimes. We have our vision of Luther as sort of wanting to break everything up, but Luther loved with his heart and mind and soul the church. And so do we. But God is loose in the world and doing incredible, amazing things. Can we be a part of it? Can we reshape who we are and how we think to live out the very freedom that Jesus tells us about in the gospel? Can we begin to see ourselves anew as agents of grace, pouring out what was first poured out for us in the baptismal waters and in wine and bread? Can we quit defining everything by whether or not we can afford it? Shaping our mission and our ministry by budgets, as if God has not given us enough. There is trouble in the church these days. It's evidenced by how few of you are here today. There's trouble because we've forgotten that God is loose. And we've become more concerned about the corporation than about the mission. I pray that we can be reformed. That we can do, as Kelly says, what makes God smile. To be engaged in the mission that God is already doing in the world. To be a part of that incredible movement of grace and peace and joy and transformation that God has already given us. God is loose in the world. Oh, can we just be a part of it? Amen.